Good morning and welcome to worship on this Palm Sunday at West End United Methodist Church. We are here to make a way for God to come into our lives and our hearts today. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Again, good morning and welcome to worship at West End. We're delighted that you're here, especially if you've started attending this Sunday or perhaps you've started attending just recently. Those of us who are here week in and week out are going to seek you out, looking for those faces we don't know, to extend a word of welcome to you and express our wish that you would become a part of our community of faith here. One important way of doing that is by getting involved in those things you'll read in your bulletin insert. Those ways that God is using West End United Methodist Church. I'm going to lift up just a few, but I encourage you to read that insert. First of all, today's service this afternoon at 5 p.m. in the four-story theater. It will be around the labyrinth. If you haven't tried today, it is a time of quiet, of singing, of prayer, and you also have the opportunity to walk the labyrinth. That's in the four-story theater at 5 p.m. this afternoon. Also, we hope you'll make plans to join us for our services this week, Maundy Thursday at 7:30 here in the sanctuary, Good Friday at noon here in the sanctuary, and then, of course, our two exactly the same Easter services at our usual worship times next Sunday. Now, you can utilize the Caterpillar parking. Their parking garage is available to us, but there is a difference this year. We have to enter off of Hay Street, not West End, Hay Street, and you have to buzz to be let in. Just tell them you're from West End, you're here for worship. You have to be buzzed to be let in, you have to be buzzed to be let out. It's just a little bit more complicated, but you're a bright group, and I know we can figure this out. So this coming Thursday and next Sunday especially, if you feel you can park in the Caterpillar garage, that leaves the spaces nearby for those who may not know about it, who may be our guests for next Sunday. Also, there will be an Easter brunch next Sunday. No regularly scheduled Sunday school classes. Easter brunch between services. And we could use your help. Helping to provide food, helping with setup and cleanup. You can look at your bulletin insert and find out how to volunteer for any of those contributions. As we look ahead, there is going to be a jazz communion service at this service on April 3rd. We have missed for 2 years our Shrove Tuesday service because of snow, but the same jazz band that plays there will be here on the 3rd to help us celebrate a blessed Easter season, and the choirs will be singing. It will be a joyous occasion. I hope you'll plan to be here. Also, a new gathering of young adults called Brood Theology begins on Tuesday, March 29th. You can read more about that in your bulletin insert. And just a reminder, church offices are closed at noon this Friday for Good Friday, and the offices will be closed on Monday for the celebration of the Easter holiday. You ever watch parades like Macy's Thanksgiving Day parades or the Rose Parade in Pasadena? Oh man, what a production! What a huge, interesting production with all those floats and you've got balloons. Well, I'm going to talk about a parade today, but it's going to be a really different kind of parade. Stick around, you'll find out.
Thank you. crowd that eagerly awaited the coming of Jesus.
Blessed is the one who comes in the name of God. Hosanna in the highest.
Fulfilling the prophecy, Jesus entered the city riding humbly on a donkey.
Blessed is the one who comes in the name of God. Hosanna in the highest.
Like the crowd in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago, we greet Jesus proclaiming,
Blessed is the one who comes in the name of God. Hosanna in the highest.
The scriptures call us to turn from sinful ways and return to God, who offers mercy and pardon. Trusting in that mercy, let us call upon God who is near. Holy God, we confess that we have acted like the people praising Jesus riding into Jerusalem. They were excited and filled with anticipation. Yet within a few short days, they were scattered, disillusioned, and frightened. We, too, long to join the triumphal procession, only to find ourselves burdened by the past, fearful of the future, and reluctant to accept the way of the cross. Merciful God, as we enter Holy Week, turn our hearts again to the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus said to the disciples, "Take heart and have no fear." As disciples, we no longer need to be burdened with guilt or fear, but renewed through God's forgiving love. Amen. Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Holy God, Word made flesh, let us hear this word open to your voice. Silence our agendas, confound our expectations, and clear the cobwebs from our ears. We know that you can. We pray that you will, and we wait with great anticipation. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel according to Luke. After he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he had come near Bethpage and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this: 'The Lord needs it.' So those who were sent departed and found it as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They said, 'The Lord needs it.' Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds and power that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise in heaven and glory in the highest heaven.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to them, 'Teacher, order your disciples to stop.' He answered, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out.'" This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Please be seated, and if there are the youngsters who would care to join us, you're welcome to come. Bring a parent, a friend, a grandparent. That's perfectly all right. We'd love to have you come down and listen to the story. When I was a little boy, my parents used to take me into Clarksville, which was the nearest town to where we lived, to see the Christmas parade. Maybe some of you have been to parades. I know in the Christmas parade, there were bands. Come on down and join us. There were bands, although my school was small and didn't have a band, but other schools had marching bands there, and they had floats that they had built. And, of course, in the Christmas parade, the big deal was that Santa Claus came in on the last float. Well, now as a grown-up, I watch parades usually on television, like the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. They even have huge balloons, and they have fabulous marching bands and beautiful floats. Come join us. I mean, they know how to do a parade. Let me tell you, they spend lots and lots of money to make it really, really beautiful. I'm going to be talking about a parade that Jesus was in, but it's not really like one of those parades. It's more like a parade we have in our neighborhood. In our neighborhood on the 4th of July, people get out their bicycles and their wagons and they take their dogs and we just kind of march around the neighborhood, you know, and we celebrate and we wear bright colors and we have a big time. Of course, we don't have any marching bands. We don't have any balloons. We don't really have any floats. We just have wagons and baby carriages and things like that. But we have our own little parade. The parade that Jesus was in was more like that. And so by the end of the sermon, I'm going to be asking you all and everyone else to think about which parade we want to be a part of. And I bet by the end of the sermon, you can figure that out. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for inviting us to be part of your parade. Thank you for leading us by sending us Jesus to teach us what a true king is like. Thank you for loving us at all times. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And thank you all for coming down. This is a familiar story. It happens this time every year, and we use different variations from different gospels to tell this story. But Luke sets it up completely differently than any of the other gospel writers. He precedes it with two very telling stories that I think he intends to introduce this story of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. The first of those stories takes place in Jericho. It's about a tax collector named Zacchaeus. Now, Zacchaeus was a wholly owned subsidiary of the emperor. What I mean by that is he collected money for the emperor, and any additional money he could collect, of course, the emperor wanted as much as he could possibly get, but Zacchaeus could collect more and keep it for himself, which is probably why when we meet him, he is described as hated by his neighbors in Jericho. Tax collectors were universally hated by their neighbors because of that system. In essence, Zacchaeus was a slave of the emperor, although he would never have called himself that. And then Jesus comes to town, and Zacchaeus is interested, and he climbs in a tree, and Jesus calls him down and goes to his house, and a miraculous thing happens, a conversion. By the time Jesus leaves, Zacchaeus says, "Half of everything I own, I'm going to give to those people who don't have enough. Half of everything I own. And if I have cheated anyone," don't you know the neighbors were chuckling at that word, "if." "If I have cheated anyone, I will return to them not one, not two, not three, but four times as much." And Jesus says, "Today, salvation has come to this house." What was miraculous was we had a conversion of the pocketbook. Much more rare than a conversion of the heart. Conversions of the heart are a dime a dozen, but conversions of the pocketbook are quite rare. And Zacchaeus had a conversion of the pocketbook. Suddenly, Zacchaeus is no longer a slave to the emperor. He has become a disciple of Jesus Christ, and it changed absolutely everything about his life. Then Jesus tells a story. It's a story that you can find similar versions in other gospels, but Jesus tells it, Jesus in Luke tells it differently. In Luke, there is a man who goes off to establish himself as a king. And when he leaves, he gives his slaves, his literal slaves, certain amounts of money, and he expects them to make money. It's kind of like Zacchaeus and the emperor to some extent. He expects them to make more money. Well, when he comes back, he is a king. He's conquered all these lands. He has established himself as king, and now he wants to see how much money these slaves have made. The first one has made a lot. Oh, my goodness, he brags on him. The second one's made a lot. He brags on him. But then there's a slave who knows that this king is cruel and greedy. And so he takes the coin he's given and he wraps it in a cloth and he hides it. And the king says, at least you could have put it in the bank. That way you would have gotten 0.032% interest. But the man said, no, I knew you were cruel and you were greedy, and I knew that if I happened to lose it somehow, oh my, it would go badly for me. And the king says, well, it's going badly for you anyway. Take what this man has and give it to the others, because what people have who don't do what I want them to do will be taken from them and given to those who do what I want them to do. And then Luke ends it with this, and this is not in any of the other gospels. And all those people who don't follow me, take them out and slaughter them. Now, unfortunately, in the history of the interpretation of the Gospel of Luke, this has often been described as a story that talks about how God deals with us. God gives us all these gifts, and we're supposed to use them, and we're supposed to make something out of them, and if we don't, they'll be taken away and given away, and if we don't follow God just the way some preacher says, then we'll be slaughtered. You know, I think that's exactly the opposite of what Jesus intended. In fact, I think Jesus was describing the emperor for whom Nicodemus worked, for whom he was a slave expecting to make money. I think Jesus was describing the way the kings of this world operate, who are greedy and cruel, who are interested in prosperity and getting their way, and anyone who gets in their way is cut out. Unfortunately, this same story has also been used sometimes as an example of how we ought to treat other people. The thing that saves it, however, is that Luke is setting us up to see how a real king acts. Not the way the king in the story acts, not the way the emperor acts, but the way Jesus acts with Zacchaeus. The way Jesus acts through this whole Holy Week story. The people in Jerusalem were pretty used to parades. Every time a conquering general would come into town, there would be a parade. If a Roman official came into town, there would be a parade. And of course, this week, because it was Passover, Pontius Pilate was coming into town. He did not live in Jerusalem, heaven forbid. He lived in Caesarea Maritima, that was built to be a place where Romans would feel comfortable. And he felt comfortable there, but he had to be in Jerusalem because during the high holy days, all the crazies came out. And he had to be there to decide who needed to be crucified, who needed to be flogged, and who could be let go. Believe me, he was going to leave just as soon as the high holy days were over. So his parade would have featured a war horse that Pilate would ride in on, his soldiers surrounding him, banners proclaiming the power of the Roman Empire, people shouting praise to the emperor. It would be sort of the equivalent of one of our parades that makes it on television. It would be pretty fancy. It'd be pretty fancy. But on the other side of town, there's another parade going on, and that's the one we're here to talk about today. After Jesus meets Zacchaeus and transforms his life, after Jesus tells this story of a greedy, cruel, and wicked king, Jesus goes to his disciples as they approach the Mount of Olives, and he says, I want you to go and borrow a colt, a small donkey. Now, we already know from Luke that this is the guy who was born in a borrowed space. Not a place that his parents owned, but a place that was borrowed where the animals were kept. We who know the rest of the story know that before long he's going to be placed in a borrowed tomb, borrowed from a wealthy follower of his. We also know, those of us who know the rest of the story of this week, that he's living on borrowed time. Doesn't this guy own anything except the clothes on his back? He doesn't even own those. Before the week is out, the Romans will take them off his back, take them away from him, flog him, and crucify him naked. That's how it was done. He wouldn't even own the clothes on his back. So he borrows a donkey. He comes riding in with a group of ragtag followers from Galilee. Believe me, very little attention would have been paid. The greatest attention they would receive would be from those people who were trying to make it up the street while all of these Galileans are waving branches of trees and shouting, Hosanna. And this guy on a donkey is riding down the middle of the street, and I can't get to where I'm going. There's a traffic jam. It's interesting what Luke says that they're shouting. You heard it in the scripture reading, but I'm not sure if you noticed that Luke made a little change there. Every time we have Holy Communion, we say, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Usually on this day, on Palm Sunday, we shout, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. But Luke changes that. Luke says, blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord. What? This Galilean rabbi is a king? He's not at all like the king in the story. He's not at all like the emperor that Zacchaeus serves. He's not at all like the emperor that Pilate serves, or Pilate, who is a wholly owned subsidiary of the emperor again, a slave of the emperor, although Pilate would never admit to that. Jesus is the only one in this story who is free to do what God is calling him to do. And what is God calling him to do? God is calling him to be the kind of king who does not ride in on a war horse, but rides in on a donkey, a borrowed donkey at that, a king who owns absolutely nothing, a king whose followers will betray him and deny him and desert him, a king who will confront the power of the Roman Empire not with swords, not with spears, not with knives, not with arrows, not even with a shield, but with the overwhelming, powerful, life-transforming love of God. This is not a king who slaughters those who don't follow him. This is a king who prays forgiveness for those who drive spikes through his wrist. This is a different kind of king. This is the kind of king that no one has ever seen before. This is the kind of king who is free enough to trust in God, whose final loyalty is in no emperor, no governor, no government, but whose final trust is in God and is so deeply embedded in God that he is willing to take his parade not just into the city, but into the courtroom and all the way to the cross. Now, the question this week, of course, is which parade are we going to be a part of? That other parade is really attractive. I mean, all the important people are there. All the people we're supposed to look up to are there at Pilate's parade. All the people who are anybody, all the people who have money, all the people who have power, all the people who have influence are there. And the only people at Jesus' parade are a bunch of ragtag Galileans and other hangers-on who will shout Hosanna on Sunday and then crucify him later in the week. I don't take this invitation lightly, because not only did Jesus go to the cross, but as far as we know of his inner circle, every single one of them but one died for their faith. So the invitation to join Jesus' parade is not an easy one to extend or an easy one to accept. It's so much easier to accept Pilate's invitation to Pilate's parade. I guess it depends on who you want to be owned by. Do you want to be a wholly owned subsidiary of the emperor, of the powers that be, or do you want to be freed to serve God as a follower of Jesus? And that's not just the choice this week. That's the choice every week, every day, every morning that we arise. Jesus is leading a parade from this place out into the world. And it includes all those people who aren't here, who might not feel welcome here. All those people who don't feel welcome in their own homes, in their own societies. That's his parade. And he's leading it through the world. The question is, which parade are we going to join? We tell our stories in various ways. And one of those is through affirming our faith. So let me invite you to stand as you're able and turn to number 883 in your hymnal. We'll tell our story together. We are not alone. We live in God's world.
We believe in God, who has created and is created, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and identifies the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, and in life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God.
We welcome all who gather to worship with us today. And if you are a guest among us, we extend a special word of welcome to you. We are glad you are here, and we hope you will join us for coffee and fellowship in Reed Hall, which is located through the doors to your right following our worship service. Our Andrew ministers would love to greet you and answer any questions you may have. The Andrew ministers will be stationed in Reed Hall and in the narthex at the rear of the sanctuary after the service. Our Andrew ministers can be identified by their blue name tags. If you are a college student, either undergraduate or graduate student, you're invited to join the student community for lunch and a time for fellowship and faith discussions following this worship service. The student community will gather in Reed Hall following the service. In the pew racks in front of you, you will find a gray card. On one side of the card, you may record any comments you have for church staff or lay leadership. If you desire a call from one of the staff persons regarding your comment, please indicate that on the card and include your contact information. On the other side of the card is a place for prayer requests. Please indicate if these prayer requests are to be shared or are kept confidential. The card can be placed in the offering plates as they are passed down the pew in a few moments. Please take a moment to record your attendance with us by passing the attendance pad you find near the center aisle down the pew if you have not already done so. And as the pad is passed back down the pew to the center aisle, we invite you to take note of those who are worshiping with you and greet anyone you may not know at the end of our service today. Today we offer our sympathy to Caitlin Dowling and her family. Caitlin is West End's music intern. They are mourning the loss of her grandmother, Carolyn June Dowling, who died March the 13th in Brunswick, Georgia. Jesus suffered death and rose to glory for the life of the world. Let us lift up our hearts in thanks to God and pray for the cares of the world. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. We pray to you, Lord of palm branches and the cross, for you understand us, and in love you have promised not to push away any who come to you. So we pray for people who feel pushed away from a living faith in Jesus by pressure from friends and family, those who feel pushed away by other people in churches if they do not share the same kinds of ideas or ways or clothes, for people who are pushed out by those who want power, whose main love is to be noticed, to have control. We pray for your church, that all those who trust in Jesus will be made able by your Spirit to follow his humility, to see and imitate his servant life, to welcome and not to condemn. Help your church be like Jesus. We pray to you, Lord of palm branches and the cross, for you know the warm glow of being praised and the loneliness of being hated. We pray for world leaders, quick to stand in the limelight, making decisions that affect everyone in the world, but slow at times to do the steady, less glamorous work to which they are called. We pray for world leaders to understand their role to serve the peoples of the world, that posturing will be replaced in practical action to make a difference, and jockeying for position be replaced by genuine efforts to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, and care for those who are weak. In days when food banks are required in our land to feed families who struggle to provide the basics for life, we ask that you will rearrange our priorities and help us to live more like Jesus. We pray to you, Lord of palm branches and the cross, because you know how quickly life changes to death. We pray for those who have recently lost those whom they have loved. In the shock, confusion, pain, and sorrow, especially of unexpected loss, we pray for hearts to be open to the comfort of your Spirit, shown through friendship and community. We ask all this in the name of Jesus, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, as we pray with one voice the prayer Jesus taught his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Jesus gave himself for the life of the world. With humble hearts, let us offer God's tithes and our offerings to God.
Thank you.
I would like to invite you to continue your Holy Week journey by attending the Maundy Thursday service Thursday evening at 7:30 and the noon Friday Good Friday service. I think they will prepare you well for the celebration that is Easter. And now go forth to follow the parade that Jesus leads, loving God and your neighbor, serving God and your neighbor in all that you do, knowing that God, who showed the greatest power in the universe through love, Jesus Christ, God's love showing us the way to true power, and the Holy Spirit that allows us to walk in Jesus' way, will be with you not just this week, but forevermore. Go in peace.